Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever and to the ages of all ages. Amen. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. It's such a joy to be in the church this morning and to celebrate this special liturgy with all my dear and beloved church family. Our meditation this morning is entitled, Not the Letter, But the Spirit. And it's being inspired by today's Pauline epistle reading, which the church read for us from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and specifically verse 6, which reads that God made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if you're here a few weeks ago, and I just wanted the meditation to be a little bit interactive. I didn't just want it to be one way. So we're going to do the same thing we did the last time, where I would like, please, everyone to get into a small group of 2 to 3 people maximum. 2 to 3 people. And if you can do that right now, please, we'll be able to proceed with the meditation. Look around you, beside you, in front of you, behind you, and connect at least with one person. And if you don't have one person, then you can connect with another group of 2. So you can be 3. So 2 to 3. And the reason for the very tiny little group is that we don't have a lot of time in the middle of the meditation for everyone to share their opinion, so we want to keep it as small as possible. Also, it's great to engage with children in any conversation, because we are mentoring our children and raising up in the love and fear of God, and it's important for them also to share in any kind of discussion. These discussions could be carried through even after church. It's okay to continue with the spirit of the liturgy. Does everyone have a partner? Anyone does not have a partner? Would like to join a group? Is everyone connected with someone else? Okay, so now I want to say a little disclaimer actually before I begin. This is not a very traditional Sunday morning talk. You're going to be challenged. Actually, some of us will be even a little bit uncomfortable in the discussions we'll be having in our small groups. But if we can't have these frank and open discussions at church, where else are we going to have them? Some of the topics we're going to be discussing today are sensitive topics that could actually make some people like shiver or be a little bit uncomfortable. But you know what? In this generation, with the kind of education and intellect and openness, we need to discuss some of these uncomfortable topics. So please, let's join together on this ride and enjoy the presence of God in our midst, the Spirit of God, who truly tells us His will for our lives, what He intends for us to live and how we should live and conduct our Christian living. So I was so happy to see this verse actually come up today in the readings, because it's something I've been thinking about and praying about for quite some time. What does it mean to interpret the scriptures? Can we read a passage or a verse or read a story and take it at face value? What did Christ come to do for us as a church, as a community? We know and we affirm that the scriptures are the inspired word of God. It's God-breathed. In Christianity, the word inspired means it's God-breathed. Holy people, holy individuals, men and women of God, who were moved by the Holy Spirit to send us this message. But there's also one thing that we have to affirm, which is beautiful in our Orthodox Church. And some people actually are confused about this point, that we do not worship the Bible. The Bible is not God. What do you mean the Bible is not? It's God-breathed. Yes, the Scripture tells us and testifies for itself that it came to us as a tutor or as a schoolmaster in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. It came to us, the law came to us as a guide and as a tutor to point us in a certain direction, until Jesus Christ came in the flesh and he became the center of the law. Therefore, anything that points us towards Jesus Christ, his person, his salvation, who he was, what he did for us, he is the only one that we worship. We worship a Trinitarian God who appeared in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us, rose from the dead, and ascended to the heavens. And he's coming back to receive us with him for eternity. What about the scriptures? Yes, the scriptures has always been our guide. In the 16th century and after the Reformation, there came a term, they coined a term that is called sola scriptura. What is sola scriptura? The Bible alone. The Bible alone is not an orthodox doctrine. And unfortunately, due to the many interpretations of scriptures, it is the same Bible, but you find so many beliefs all around the world. And then we have so many different denominations and churches and disagreements about the faith. Unfortunately, the Bible has been misused or even abused. But our beautiful church centers us to tell us that we know Christ, we know Jesus. He is the center. We know who he is, how he dealt with people, how he conducted himself, how he lived amongst the people and the weakest, amongst the people who were disenfranchised, the people who were pushed away from mainstream society, and he brought them in. He accepted them. He loved them. He showed them that the kingdom of God is also for them. What about all the letters of the law, the literal interpretations of scriptures? Well, that's a whole other dynamic and educational system. So many different interpretations. Some of them the church, our church advises us to do. We have the allegorical interpretation, this literal interpretation, but it's not that simple. It needs guidance. It needs the Holy Spirit. It needs our Orthodox fathers and mothers who have interpreted scriptures. But it's not up to each person to take a verse and fly away with it and say, well, the Bible says so. Remember that even the devil used verses from scriptures to tempt the Lord Jesus on the mountain. Therefore, the art of interpretation is not that simple, and it needs depth and it needs guidance. It needs the Holy Spirit to rule over us as a community and as a congregation to direct us. What does God mean when he says what he says? If you're just walking in, please get into groups of 2 to 3 people, because we're going to have some discussions. We're going to have 3 case studies. I want us to understand a little bit the difference between the letter and the spirit. What did Jesus come to do to the letter of the law, the literal understanding of the law? Let's look at the very first case study. And this is a few verses from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. Our Lord Jesus, right at the offset of his ministry, wanted to tell the people that I have not come to abolish, but I have come to fulfill. I'm coming to add the spirit to the law, to the letter of the law, to understand what God meant, let's say, in the Old Testament commandments. It's exactly like having these bones. The bones set the bone structure, the skeleton of the body, to hold up the body. But this body would be dead unless it had breath. And this is the example in the book of Ezekiel, when God told him, go and prophesy about these dead bones, that they should rise again. God will send his breath, his spirit, to make these bones alive. That's exactly what Jesus came to do, to give us depth and to give us understanding. In your groups, please, I would like you to discuss the following. The verses read as follows. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is in the Old Testament. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. The question that I'd like you to take a minute to discuss, please. What do these verses tell us about understanding the scriptures in the spirit and not in the letter? If you can take a minute, please, to discuss it in your small group, and then we will reconvene momentarily. If you're just walking in or you don't have a group, please look around you. Make sure that you are connected with a group, because we have two more group discussions. Please make sure you connect with someone who is sitting around you. How beautiful are you, dear Lord? Because you are not just content with the basic, but in your message to your followers, you wanted to give us depth and understanding. You wanted to take away judgment. You wanted to take us to the next level where we can be truly living as your children and followers according to your commandments. When our Lord Jesus met with the Samaritan woman, she was merely carnal. She was about the letter of the law. She was concerned about disputes. Where is going to be worship? Is it going to be in Samaria, in the well, in the holy mountain that Jacob gave us, or is it going to be in Jerusalem? Our Lord Jesus wanted to take her to a completely higher spiritual level, a spiritual level that is not merely concerned with the physical or with the temporal, but with the spiritual. He told her, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The time is short for us to enter into many disputes. We should know the heart of God. We should know the spirit of Christ. And if we are truly going to be followers of the Lord Jesus, we must understand his mindset and his mentality. But from there, I want to take you to another uncomfortable stage. I want to give you another verse or a few verses from scriptures that have been abused over many centuries. And let's see how the Christian community has dealt with these verses throughout the past few centuries. Case study number 2, and this is taken from 1 Peter 2, 18 to 20. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Some of us are thinking, oh my goodness, are these verses in scriptures? Yes, they are. Let's discuss it a little bit. Make sure that you are in a group, please. How could the literal interpretation of these verses be misused to justify slavery and physical abuse? If we can take a quick minute to discuss it, please. Did you know that Christianity did not abolish slavery? Slavery is unfortunately a trait that has been existing since biblical times. We see Abraham having many slaves, many of the patriarchs in the history of scriptures, having slaves. In the New Testament, it was normal to have slaves. But in the 1600s, the trade of slavery became a commerce where the West profited a lot from slavery that was coming predominantly from Africa, from Western Africa or Sub-Saharan Africa, and the subjugation of human beings by others, ill treatment. And it seemed like it was sanctioned by the Bible. Christians, good Christians, were pro-slavery. And they were saying, even the Bible says that we are okay to have slaves. We should treat them well, but if they misbehave, we should give them a beating. Even St. Peter is saying, you do your part to the slaves, be good. What good is it if you get a beating, if you do bad things? But if you get a beating, if you're good and you get a beating, then you have a reward in heaven because Christ also suffered. Now, for many people, these verses were misused and abused for centuries to enslave others, unfortunately. But Christ comes today to say it's not the letter, it's the spirit. It's the spirit. The more we grow in the spirit, yes, it's true that the Bible did not abolish slavery, but at that time, it advocated the kind treatment of slaves, if there's such a thing. But slavery was, of course, abused, and no human being should own other human being or reprimand them or beat them. The Slavery Abolition Act in Canada came into effect in the 1st of August, 1834, abolishing slavery throughout the British Empire, including the British North America. The act made enslavement officially illegal in every province and freed the last remaining enslaved people in Canada. As for the U.S., President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January the 1st, 1863. We're talking about 150 years as the nation approached its third year of bloody civil war. And the proclamation declared that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states at that time have to be freed immediately. So how do we deal with these verses that speak about slavery and the beating of people? We have to understand them now in a symbolic sense. We can't have slaves. No one should enslave anyone else. We should understand that God created every human being free and is respectful and should be treated with kindness. You know, even though slavery is illegal now, but now we have hierarchies even in our mind. We have the men, then we have, you know, lighter skinned women, or and then, you know, people of like darker skinned women, and then children, and then servants, and then employees who are working under us, and the abuse still continues. But we have to be vigilant, and we have to be careful, and we have to understand. It's not just about the letter, but we need to put in effort to ask, Lord, what is your heart? Where is your heart? This creation of yours that is deserving the kingdom of heaven. There should be no discrimination. There should be no stereotyping among people. But we should make a conscious effort to reach out to every human being with the message of Christ, regardless of who they are. And unfortunately, many people still carry these ideologies of hierarchies and who's better and who's worse. Remember that we have to make an effort to reach out to every human being with love and kindness and joy, thinking of them that they are even much better than us. They could be in the kingdom of heaven, while we may refuse the message of Christ at times and turn away or turn back. I want to go to my last example or case study, and this is going to make some of us really uncomfortable to think about these verses. But I need to discuss them with you, because many of these issues are still lingering until today, even in our midst, even in North America, even in the 21st century. People are still thinking, oh, the letter and not the spirit. Let's go to case study number 3, and we're going to speak a bit about women. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. 1 Timothy 2:11 to 15. In your small group, please discuss the following question. How have these verses been used to subordinate, exclude, and dominate women? Let's take a minute, please, to do that. Yesterday, I attended a wedding in another church. And this wedding had a guest clergy person who is visiting Canada. And at the end of the wedding, when the commandments came up, and specifically the commandment of the woman when she is asked to submit and to be obedient and to call him my Lord, just like you know, Sarah did, and called Abraham my Lord, and to render all of his rights, you know, to him. And that guest clergy stopped the ceremony. He said, this commandment is not only for the bride. It is for all the women who are in attendance. And he said, if you are not yet married, you should get married very soon. If you don't want to get married, go to the convent and live there as a monk and as a nun. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was very uncomfortable, to say the least. Why pick on the woman? Like, why go out of your way to make sure that, you know, women feel subordinated and objectified and dominated by males? There's no need for that. There's no need to go out of our way. And I'm sure some men are saying, no, talk about anything except about women. Don't you know what's been happening in our home? Listen, there is history. There's history of abuse and misconduct by men, by males, who don't understand the spirit of God. That these verses are not written to subordinate or to dominate women and to make them feel inferior. And I know that there are some elder women who kind of made their peace with some of these verses. But what are we going to tell our daughters, our young generation, that just because you're a woman, you are not, you know, up to par, or you're not, you know, as good as men? Is that the true spirit of Christ? Is this what Jesus came to the world to say? The same St. Paul who, you know, wrote in the scriptures some of, you know, the passages that we know, a man is the head of the wife. Why? And we don't have a lot of time today to go into different interpretations, unfortunately, but I just want to highlight that these verses could and sentiments could be very easily used and misused and abused, and it's been done so for generations, where you have, you know, patriarchal societies and men-led societies. Power is addictive. And the idea here is not to shift the pendulum from, you know, a male-dominated culture into a woman-dominated culture. No, it's not about that. It's about understanding the heart of Jesus, how he loves everyone. There is no more male or female, St. Paul writes, rich or poor, Jew or Greek, but all are one in Christ. Is this the only verse that mentions balance in the home? We don't need to go out of our way to make others uncomfortable, but we should extend the love and grace of Christ. We need to apologize for all the times that we've abused the word of God, misused it, and used it to dominate others. Some men, I know, the only verse they know from the Bible is, man is the head of the woman. That's it. They don't know anything about the sacrifice of Christ to the church. They don't know about anything about love and humility and modesty and working together as a team. These verses could be abused and misused. Right here, right in this spot, less than 48 hours ago, a remarkable woman stood. Do you know who she is? Who is she? Mama Maggie, right? She was here only 2 days ago, less than 2 days. And when asked about difficulties she had in women, what did she say? She said, I'm what? I am proud to be a woman. How beautiful is that? We are proud to be God's children. Our daughters should keep their heads held up high. Our women, our elderly, those who are disabled, those who are of different skin colors or feel that they are left out or disenfranchised in any way, should keep their heads high because Jesus came for them, to save them, to redeem them, and to offer them eternal life. My dear friends, there's so much to be said about these topics, but unfortunately, time is always running out, and I hope to continue discussing these important topics. You see, in our day and age, it's not okay just to sweep things under the carpet and pretend that they don't exist. We can't be uncomfortable sometimes. We have to face our problems and our challenges and our demons and deal with them, to discuss them and speak outright, to understand that Jesus is not the one that some people draw him to be or imagine him to be. Jesus is kind. The Lord is for every one of his creation. He doesn't disenfranchise anyone. Actually, that was human doing. His heart is always for his people. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. And he loves us all collectively. And we should be on his team. We should be on his team to be in a generation of healing and reconciliation, working under the guidelines of the church, under the guidelines that our mother church sets for us, but with deeper understanding and conviction and with critical thinking, to make sure that we are walking according to the heart of Jesus Christ. Today's message is that it's not the letter, but the spirit. The Lord has made us his ambassadors, because the letter kills, but the spirit gives life, and glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.